Hey, Reg, how are you doing, my friend? Okay. Good, good, good. Ah, little stretch. All right. Are you ready to go? I am. So let's do this thing. All right. Are you set? I'll give you the three S's and I'll give you the countdown, give you the music. I'll give you a podcast. Put it in the book. 434. 434 of these things. Holy smokes. Ready? Let's do 434. 3, 2. Oh, I'm starting. Star, smile, strong. Now we can do it. Here we go. 3, 2, 1. Hey, it's Elton Jim Toronto, and this is Captain Podtastic. And welcome to another episode of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Every Monday, a new episode is posted at WGNRadio.com or wherever you go to find your favorite podcast. We are there. It's, of course, always important to listen, but it's always important to get out there and tell your friends that you listen to this podcast and spread the word. So get out there. Shout it from the tallest building in your neighborhood. Let your neighbors know, let your friends know, let your families know, let anybody know that you listen to Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic and all of your podcast friends and relatives. If they listen to podcasts, they should listen to it too. Don't forget, if you like what you hear, you can always go to WGNRadio.com. Go to the podcast section, hit the prompt for this podcast, and find out what all the fuss has been about since May of 2016. Yeah. Find out what we've been talking about, what we've been doing, why so many people love this podcast. There's tons there, so just scroll down and load more. Load this one now, because it's episode number 434. So, you know that there's a famous Seinfeld episode. It's hard to believe, really, when you really... I mean, Seinfeld is on television, still in the reruns on different cable stations, and I assume it's on streaming stations as well, streaming services. But it's hard to believe that the show is more than 30 years old. It's just never been off. And it's still funny and it's still relevant. It started with its pilot in 1989. And, you know, I believe the first episode, the official first episode, or the initial episode started in 91. So, oh my God, that's 33 years since it started, and it went off, I believe, in 1998. So it's almost been off for 30 years. It's hard to believe. And I'm sure that to younger people, I mean, that show is an old show. It's probably one of their parents' shows, even though it's still relevant, still funny. But and today there's kind of an interesting view of ageism going on, and so and a lack of appreciating what came before. So I don't know how younger people view Seinfeld. If it's just are they as rabid fans as those of us who were there when it first started? Certainly you saw what streaming services can do for some older shows. The biggest and most prominent, I would say, of influence of a streaming service on an older show, a show that had been off the air for many years, had been on regular, well, not regular, but, you know, broadcast television, either over the air or cable, satellite, but not a streaming service. It just goes to show you where the real audiences are in terms of the big numbers and the influencers, if you will, the younger demographic that all advertisers crave, because they're spending money. And here was the show The Office, which I felt, I love both incarnations. The original British version with only, I think, 13 episodes total, which every one of them is almost a gem, with Ricky Gervais. And I still think that there's something to be said that that one may be better, but it's just there's so few of them. It's almost like Fawlty Towers, another great British show from the 70s with John Cleese playing Basil Fawlty, running a little seaside hotel. Classic, classic show. I don't know how politically correct it would be in 2024, but it's still just so clever and so funny. But here was The Office that was on for about 10 years or so, maybe eight. I believe it started in 2005. It probably went off in 2013, 2015, maybe. And it's been on television. It was on reruns, as I said, like on cable stations and stuff like Comedy Central or TV Land, while the show was still on. And so it's never really gone off the air. But several years ago, it went to Netflix. Now, here's a show that had a long run in its first run. Had a post-life after it was finished in reruns. And, you know, it was one of the popular shows. I don't know if ever, I'm sure it was number one for a while. It was a popular show, no question. But a few years ago, when the episodes were put on to Netflix, and I don't know if it was right around the COVID time when so many people started watching TV, or maybe even before that, I'm not sure, but when it went on Netflix, it exploded. A whole new younger generation discovered the show as if it had just, it was showing new episodes every week. Now, this was a show that started in 2005. And yet, it seemed as if it was completely unknown by a certain amount of people, a certain amount of a generation, even though the show has been on and available to watch on television. But most younger people, just everybody says that, but I don't think people realize the impact of that, that younger people just don't really watch regular television. They are mostly consumed with either online streaming services or, you know, TikTok and things like that. It's really that pervasive. It really is. And those of us who are used to regular television, we've had to learn to go to the streaming services. But we still cling, at least I do, I still cling to my satellite service. I certainly watch that much more than streaming services, unless there are some specific shows, but I don't watch it every day. But unbelievably, The Office, that had been off the air for several years, but still available to watch on regular television, suddenly became this new sensation. And a whole new younger generation who may have only been maybe 10 or 11 when the show went off the air, or even younger, whatever, or just didn't pay attention to it, suddenly discovered it. And now it is ranked as one of the best shows of all time because of this younger generation leading our culture. It's really it's an amazing thing. So now a lot of times, I mean, you know, people like Steve Carell and John Krasinski, they've gone on to have very successful careers in films. And so they haven't really had to rely on that. But what's really interesting is many of the supporting characters have had a whole new renaissance of their careers. They're doing commercials and appearing at conventions, and they've got podcasts. And suddenly, you know, many of the side, the smaller characters on the show have seen a new relevance, which has to be nice for them. But it's almost like, wow, what happened when we were on? Where were you? Well, maybe some of these kids weren't even born. But it really shows the power of streaming services, and I guess the power of alternate viewing platforms. I just think that, and I don't, once again, I don't have kids, so I'm not around young people. I mean, I am around young people with different projects that I do, but I'm not living with them every day and seeing what they do and what they, you know, what they do, what they talk about, how they view. But if you have kids, I'm sure you know what they're watching and how they're watching. And it's amazing, the power of the streaming services and how they've just completely changed the paradigm. But back to my original thought. So there's a classic episode of Seinfeld, which, and just to finish my original thought, so Seinfeld ended in 1998. I wonder if that show feels older to younger people because it ended in the late 90s, as opposed to The Office, that even though it ended maybe 10 years ago or so, still feels a little younger and a little cooler, a little hipper, because it was at least in the 2000s and it wasn't that long ago. It wasn't 30 years ago. It was only 10 years ago. I don't know. Interesting. But there's no question that The Office is much more popular with a younger crowd than Seinfeld is. No question about that. It's an interesting phenomenon as to, you know, the way the viewing habits of the majority of people have shifted over the last, and it hasn't been that long, maybe 10 years or so, that the streaming services have been really the dominant. I mean, certainly it was House of Cards with Kevin Spacey that brought people to Netflix, when that was one of the first original programs that was on Netflix, as opposed to just reruns and old films. But wow. But anyway, my original reason for bringing up Seinfeld and then went into The Office was, there is a classic episode of Seinfeld. To be honest with you, I love Seinfeld. I still watch it every day. Many times sometimes it's on at 1 a.m. and I will just record those and watch them later. Even though I've seen them a million times. But once again, I'm a rerun fanatic. I'm still watching Andy Griffith, so. But there's a classic episode of Seinfeld, which actually is not really one of my favorites, but it is a well-known episode. You remember the episode of Seinfeld when the four main characters get lost in a parking garage? And the whole episode takes place in a parking garage. And it was kind of an early theme that Larry David and Jerry Seinfeld were exploring. It sort of faded away from that later. But it was kind of taking the mundane. I mean, the show, ultimately, that was what it was about. It was taking the mundane and rising it up and finding humor in everyday, ordinary types of situations. And great effect is Curb Your Enthusiasm, another Larry David show. But, you know, there's a classic episode of Seinfeld with the Chinese restaurant, where the entire episode takes place in the Chinese restaurant, waiting for a table. Once again, something that we all do, considerably mundane. You don't think you would find much entertainment value in that, but they did. And so I think when they found the popularity or the, you know, people like the Chinese restaurant episode, then it was like, well, what other things does everybody do that would seem uneventful, and how do we make it eventful in a comedic way? And everybody parks their car. And everybody at one time or another parks their car in a parking garage. And there are some common experiences that we all go through. How many times have you gone to a parking garage and you've lost your car? Ultimately, that was the premise of this Seinfeld episode in the parking garage. They went to out to the suburbs, which for them was a big deal because they were urban dwellers. They were supposed to come back to the city. George, there's a whole subplot. George has to get back to meet his parents, I believe, to go to a Broadway show. But I think they were bringing back a television or an air conditioner or something. Kramer had a big box. And it's just, it takes off from there. The dominoes begin to fall. And ultimately, it centers around the fact that they forgot where they parked the car. And so they're walking on several different levels. And of course, in the parking garage, you know, we've got the purple and the green. I mean, they help you. They give names to every floor to help people remember this. So obviously, losing your car, or not so much losing it, but forgetting where you parked, is a common occurrence in a huge, big parking garage because they all look the same. Every floor looks the same except for the names of the levels and the different colors to try to accentuate each one. But even that doesn't work. Now, in today's world, I don't know if it's, you know, given, you know, you think about the cell phone. I mean, there was a time you'd say, okay, write it down. Right? Or I'll remember it. It's yellow level 4, you know, G10 or something. Well, today, I don't even know if you could do the Seinfeld parking garage episode and have it be relatable, because today you just pull out your phone, take a picture of the floor you parked on, and if you're right in front of the little post that has the number, you know, okay, I'm in yellow G10. Boom, take a picture. On your way back, pick it up on your phone, and you get right there. The whole premise of this Seinfeld episode may be shot down. But once again, this was more than 30 years ago. We didn't have phones with cameras on them. So I wonder if that's, now that I'm thinking about it, just talking out loud, which is what I do here on the podcast, I'm just wondering, is that maybe one reason why Seinfeld might not resonate as well with younger people? Because it was 30 years ago, and, you know, Seinfeld happened just, well, certainly it started before, and it ended just as the internet and the tech boom was beginning to expand. The tech boom exploded in 2000. Everything exploded. But by 95 and 96, more people were getting email and becoming more adept at using the computer and the internet. But social media didn't come until about 2007 with the smartphone in a big way. Yes, there was MySpace and there was early versions of Facebook, but my point is, once the iPhone put all that computing power in your hand, then society changed forever. And that was about 2007. So I wonder if younger people just look at Seinfeld and just feel, not only is it older in numbers, but they look at the situations, and many of the Seinfeld situations are based in human nature and human behavior, which hasn't changed in you know, millions of years, how many years humans have been on this planet. But perhaps some things like that, well, like if you're watching, if you're a younger person, you're 14 or 15 or 16, or even in your 20s, and you're watching this episode with the Seinfeld episode with the parking garage, and you would just go, well, why didn't they just take a picture of the floor they're on and the number? And you say, well, back then they didn't have the capability to do that. And it's like, oh, geez, well, then what am I watching this for? So maybe that's a part of it. The Office was a little, you know, was in the 2000s, and so at least a little more relatable. There was more technology and infused in the stories of today, at least, whereas with Seinfeld, a lot of the technologies that we take for granted today weren't even, if they weren't invented, they certainly weren't in the mainstream yet. And if they were in the mainstream, if they were in out in the world, they weren't used by a majority of people yet. As I said, the show ended in 98. The internet was picking up steam, and more people were emailing and going on websites and things like that, but it wasn't as pervasive as it is now. So I wonder if that's one reason why. Maybe the show just feels dated. I don't know. But anyway, the parking garage episode, as I said, it's not one of my favorites, to be honest. It's funny. There are some interesting little sidelines, little subplots within it. But it's not one of my all-time favorites. However, just last week, I didn't have an exact Seinfeld garage experience, parking garage experience, but I had a parking garage experience that reminded me of this episode. Now, I don't know about you, but, you know, once again, everything is complicated today, it seems. There was a time, once again, complicated, convenient, I mean, it depends on your view. I don't know if most of you know or are aware, but there are several parking apps that you can get on your phone, and it's very convenient. I use them all the time. The best known one, I believe, at least that's the one that I use the most, is called Spot Hero. And I use that one fairly often, especially if I'm going downtown into the downtown Chicago, to find a good rate to park in a garage, because the parking rates downtown are ridiculous. For 3 or 4 hours, you could spend $30. And so Spot Hero offers this service where a lot of times you can get it for 10 or 11. It's amazing. One-third the price. So I was resistant to that until I was constantly reminded by a friend to say, why aren't you using this? We parked in the same lot, and I paid $12 and you paid $30. What are you doing? Just download the app. So finally I acquiesced and I did, and now I do use it. And that's the way we are. We're always a little, at least I am, a little hesitant initially to change things. But then once you change and you realize the significance and the convenience and how it improves your situation, and all of a sudden you go, yeah, okay, this, I use this all the time. So I was going to an event, a little social gathering, if you will, in a downtown Chicago high-rise. A friend of a friend, you know, I don't know if their parents or somebody had a unit in this very nice high-rise on Lakeshore Drive, very, you know, nice area. And on the rooftop, so it was very nice. And so anywhere downtown, especially by the lake, it's hard to find street parking. So before I go down, I was told that they had a parking garage in the high rise, but that the parking could be a little expensive, as it's listed. So, of course, I went on my Spot Hero to find if they had any spots available and if they had any prices. Well, for some reason, there were no spots available when I went on in the building. And I didn't, and so I said, well, okay, you know, I'm just going once and I don't feel like walking a mile or something. So I just said, okay, I'm just going to go and pay what it is. It's going to be like $25. And it's like, it's a, you know, it's a lot of money just to park your car. I mean, my gosh, people talk about investments. I would think the best investment in the world is a parking garage or a parking lot, right? I mean, what's the upkeep? You just have to, you know, make sure you you fix some potholes every once in a while. I mean, that's got to be, if you own a parking lot, I think that's just a license to print money. Man. So I helped them print money. So I just laid down my arms and said, okay, I'm going to go in the building and park in the building parking lot and pay the price. So when I'm driving in, now this is it's a somewhat exclusive, you know, private high rise on Lakeshore Drive, right? I mean, kind of a, you know, nice neighborhood. Great view of the city right on the lake. And so clearly if the people that live in this building, there's, you know, some perks that they get, you know, I'm sure they get free parking and things like that. Part of their, you know, apartment or condo. I don't know if they were, I don't know if it was a rental place or if it was a condominium, but I'm sure that they get at least one or two spots within most high rises. That's part of the deal. And they are assigned. They are reserved, which makes perfect sense. If I'm spending that much money, I mean, this is probably a very elite high rise building. And I'm sure the parking gets folded in to the total price of the unit that you either buy or rent. And so I have no problems with there being reserved spots specifically for the residents. That makes sense. What doesn't make sense is usually in a situation like that, you know, they will have, which they did, they have one entrance for residents who have their card, their little pass. I'm sure that they just wave it and they get in. And then there's public parking. There's still, you know, if you're a visitor, you will pay to see your friend who lives there, like I was doing to some extent. And there is a separate entrance for public parking, and it says public parking. Okay, great. So I go and I press the button and the ticket comes out and I'm like, okay. And I'm assuming that the lower level of the lower levels of the parking garage all have reserved parking, and probably at the top is where there would be public parking. And as I said, I went into the entrance with the machine, you know, with the barrier that goes up and down that said public parking, and I got my ticket. But as soon as I drive up, I see this sign as I'm beginning to ascend, and it says resident parking beyond this point. And I'm like, well, then where do I go? But I've never been in this lot before. I've never been in this building before. So I'm like, okay, let me see. So I went all the way to the top. I don't know how many levels there were, maybe 7 or 8. And every spot on every level said reserve parking. There was a little sign, a little green sign on every parking spot that said reserve spot, and violators will be towed at owner's expense, right? So I'm like, eesh, you know. Now, granted, there were a lot of open spots, but I'm not going to park in someone's spot. So I go all the way to the top, and sure enough, there are no spots that don't have this reserved parking sign. So I'm like, so now what am I going to do? So now I go all the way down, and I said, well, before I just, I don't know. Sometimes if you go into a parking garage and if you leave within 5 or 10 minutes, you don't even have to pay. So I was going to do that and look for either a spot on the street or someone else, because it was clearly every spot that I saw had a reserve sign on it. So even though it said public parking, I didn't see where the public parking section was. But before I left, I said, well, let me, you know, I hit that little button, that scary little button. You know, the scary button on the machine when you go to a parking garage? That's the scary button about the assistance button. And that button can be very scary. If you have to hit the assistance button at a parking garage, you know you're in trouble. It never is easy. I mean, in today's world, I don't even know where those people are. I mean, there was a time at parking garages where there used to be attendants there, where you could actually go into a little room, you know, you could see people sitting there and ask them a question. Which, once again, I'm all for human contact. I like that. Maybe I'm old school. Okay, boomer, whatever. But when you have to hit that button for assistance, I don't think I've, it's never been smooth. First of all, you can't hear the person. They're like,
hello, what's it? How can I help you?
I mean, so you're screaming, you're leaning out your window, and
they have it.
Yeah. So I hit the button, and I know I'm already in trouble. Once I have hit the button, I know I'm in trouble. But I'm trying to be conscientious. I'm like, well, maybe I didn't see where the public parking area was, because as I said, I went into the lane that said public parking. You would think that if you go into the entry that says public parking, where you get your ticket, then when you get in, there would be some kind of a sign that says public parking here, public parking there, you know, where, you know, either an arrow, or it's on level 4, or it's on level 10, or it's level 1, or take a right, something. The only sign that was there was resident parking beyond this point, right when you pulled in. There was no real sign for us public parkers. Well, then, if you're not going to have public parking, or if you're going to make it difficult, then don't even bother. So, I'm like, well, before I leave, let me just begrudgingly hit that assist button, and I hope that this is a somewhat satisfying exchange. Rarely have I had a satisfying exchange when I'm talking to anybody from the parking garage through that little microphone machine, you know, where the ticket comes out, where you have to press the assistant button. I've certainly, when parking lots used to have people, I even wonder if people are on the site. I wonder if there are really people. When I hit that button, is there someone at that location, or are they at some general location, because this lot, you know, this company controls 20 lots, and are they just fielding questions and problems from parking, you know, from 5 different parking lots? Because I never get a sense that the person that's talking to me understands what I'm trying to say, even though I am very particular and I try to fully explain the situation so there is no communication breakdown. And inevitably, there is always a communication breakdown. So I don't know. I wish they still had the attendance on site, because that way I could say, look, here I am, where is it? And the person, but...
Are you there? Your ticket, please?
Yep. I mean... And then, of course, when that happens, there's always a line. That's why you also... Not only do I hate to press the button, because, first of all, A, it takes time for them to answer, which, like I said before, makes me wonder if they're really on the site of where I'm parking or if they're in some other location, you know, 10 miles away or another state. I don't know. But, you know how it is. You go to a parking garage and you want to check out, you know, you want to get out. And sometimes you can pay ahead of time in the lobby, which I didn't see that. I didn't see that machine. Because it was a residence, so maybe they don't want to do that. And then usually you pay, you know, right at the machine there. You put your ticket in, and then you put your credit card, and boom. So I say, you know, so now I'm waiting a couple of minutes. Thankfully, there was no one behind me, thank God, because I get very antsy when I see people behind me, and I'm, you know, causing this disruption because I don't mean to. So it takes a couple minutes and finally somebody comes on and I explain. I said, you know, I just came in. I went through the public parking entrance. I got a ticket, but every spot that I've seen is reserved. And so I don't want to park. I mean, where can I park? I don't know where to park. Every spot I saw on every level had a green reserved parking spot. So he says, well, no, there's public parking right behind you. There's a sign. You'll go in that. Right behind you, there's a little area, and you'll go down, and you'll see it says public parking. Just back up, he said. So he must have been at least aware of the physical plant of this parking garage. I don't know where he was. And I said, so... there's public parking. I said, well, where's the sign? He goes, well, no, you'll see the sign there once you start to go down. Okay. Bad signage. There should be not only this ominous one that says resident parking only beyond this point. I mean, it's a scary sign. But there also should be another sign that says public parking this way. And I would have simply turned that way. You put me into this entry that says clearly public parking, and then you leave me to fend for myself. I don't know how public parking friendly this building and this lot is, to be honest with you. So, and especially where they put the public parking. I mean, it's like in the bowels of this garage. It's like, you know, it's where cars go to park and die. It's low, it's subterranean, it's not well lit. I mean, it's like, yeah, okay, oh, the public is coming in? Yeah, okay, just, put one little light bulb there, and they could find their way, I guess. Meanwhile, you know, where all the residents are, it's beautiful, there's carpeting. So thankfully, no one's behind me, so I am able to back up, make a three-point turn, and go into this little side area, which, once again, completely, inconvenient. There were three aisles for the cars, right? There was the public parking entrance. There was the resident parking entrance. And then there was the exit, right? Three of those. The public parking entrance was on the far right. the area, supposedly, for the public parking was on the far left. They had to cut across the traffic. You know, there was only two. There was not, you know, there wasn't like one of these. It wasn't a huge lot where, like, you know, one side is all coming down and the other side is all going up. It was two lanes. So you have to cut across traffic to some extent if cars are coming down. They're going up and coming down the same lanes. But there was no sign anyway that said public parking there. This guy doesn't tell me that. And I said, now, so I go, well, once I get down there, you know, I said, because I'm just looking on the side here and I still see those green signs. No, you can park there. I'm like, okay. You're sure? Yes, because I'm a little afraid. It says, you know, towers, you know, or, you know, violators will be towed at the owner's expense. So I'm like, I don't feel like coming down here after this party and having my car gone. So I don't feel at all confident in this exchange at all. Because I could already see. I just looked to my right and I see where he's telling me to go. And I see the green signs. And I'm like, I said, so there's green signs here that say reserve parking. I could park there in that section? Yes, yeah, no. Then he goes, let me find out. What am I? You have a sign that says public parking, and you don't know where the public parking is? I don't know. As I said, never a satisfying experience when you hit the assistance button at a parking garage. So he says, no, you can park there. Yeah, just park anywhere, he said. Park anywhere, he said. Okay, I don't feel confident at all in this. The only saving grace in my mind is that this, and I'm now, like I said, I'm going down. Now there's a ramp to go down even farther, and it's getting darker. I'm seeing mole people. You know, this is like, you know, journey to the center of the earth. So my point is, I'm like, okay, if I lived in this building, I would not want to be part. I can't believe that this would be resident parking here, even though it says reserved parking. I can't believe that anybody that lives in this building, as I said, it's a nice building, would want to park in this graveyard for parked cars where I'm going. And apparently there's a fitness center in this building as well. And they had a line of reserved parking spots for their members. So amidst, still as I'm going down into the journey to the center of the earth, I keep going down, it's getting darker and deeper. I finally get to the very bottom, the dead end. And once again, not only are there all green signs that say, it doesn't say public parking. It's that same reserve parking sign everywhere with a number on it. And then there's this row of about 10 spaces or so for the fitness thing. And they say reserved for members only. So everywhere in this lot, I'm seeing reserved parking. So now I have to make another 3-point turn because I'm at a dead end here. And the only spots available are these 10 for the fitness center. And I don't want to park in there because who knows? So on my way up again, and I'm like, okay, it's pretty desolate down here. The guy said I could park at any spot. I'm parking here. So I park in an out-of-the-way spot. Seems to be relatively desolate. And I'm only going to be there for 3 or 4 hours, so hopefully, okay. But, you know, once again, when you think about it, what is my case, right? What if my car is towed, What is my defense? Well, I hit the assistance button. First of all, if I went down there and my car is gone, it's gone anyway. So I'm going to have to pay the parking and the tow and everything else. I can only imagine. And then how do I get to the, I don't even know where it's towed. So I'm like, okay. But I really had, this is why I felt very skeptical, because this guy's like, oh yeah, no, that you could park anywhere over there. And it just didn't sound right. And I don't know his name and I don't know where he is. And by the time I come back, he might be off his shift and who knows. So really I was parking with blind faith in the hopes that there's so many people, so many cars, so many spots that hopefully I picked one that no one will notice. I'm not here long. And so if I am in the wrong spot, which I don't know what the right spot could be, because there's no signs that say public parking, hopefully I get away with it, right? But I knew there's a part of me there, you know, I'm very, you know me, if you listen with any regularity, I didn't have a good feeling about this. But at the same time, I'm like, what am I going to do? This is what he told me. Even though I don't know his name, I don't know what kind of pull this guy has that told me to do this. So I don't feel confident at all in this, but I also don't want to be late to my party. And so I parked the car against my better judgment, and I just hope for the best. Now, as I've said many times here, you know me. I'm Ronnie Reality. I don't like to say, oh, everything will be okay. I always work on the assumption that there's going to be a problem. And how do we work around the problem? But look at me throwing caution to the wind one of the few times. Oh, it'll be fine. The guy said there's nobody here. It's dark. It's desolate. I could park my car there. Okay, fine. Fast forward about 4 hours. Come down. I walk down into the bowels of this parking garage, and my car is there. I'm like, phew, okay, cool. But I do notice, I mean, I don't know if they give you a ticket. I don't know, you know. But I do notice something on my driver's side window as I'm walking down this ramp toward my car. Now, at first, I think, well, is that just like, you know, a lot of times your car will have like a sticker that the at the bottom of your driver window, they'll have a little sticker there that the, you know, the manufacturer puts on there about, you know, an emergency or something, their little sticker there. So from a distance, I think, I don't remember whether my driver's side window has that sticker or not, but I see this little white thing right toward the bottom lower left part of my driver's side window. So I'm thinking, well, it's probably just a sticker. I never noticed it before. But as I get closer to the car, I realize it is not a sticker. And it is, in fact, a business card. And it's stuck in, you know, the little part of your window there, that, you know, that little gully there between the window and the little rubber there. And I have the ticket. I have this card with me right now. I brought it with me because I said, well, this is a podcast. And so it sounds like, I didn't know. The sign, the little thing says, this is a private spot. Oh, can you believe this? There's 1,000 spots in this fucking place. Oops, sorry. There's 1,000 spots in this place. I was very upset. And Now, thankfully, the car is there. But what does this little card say? This is a private spot, dash. I did not call tow truck this time. Oof. Please don't park here again. Exclamation point. Another reference to Seinfeld. I would use an exclamation point here and here. So I'm like, oof. Now, I felt bad. I don't know whose spot this is. You know, I don't know who. I mean, there's a lot of other spots around. I mean, certainly if I'm in a private spot, which I had a feeling, like I said, every spot in this, I'm not exaggerating, every spot between the fitness center reserve spots and then every spot in this garage from top to bottom had this reserved sign with the number of the spot. I didn't feel right parking there to begin with, but I said, well, you know, the guy in the box said I could. I am never going to trust the guy in the box again. Because clearly, so I thought, ooh, geez, you know, so I parked in someone's spot. Now, granted, as I said, there were a ton of, even when I left at 10 o'clock, there was tons of spots there. So I don't know if I did park in somebody's private spot, which apparently I did, but if that person came, they could have parked somewhere else. But then again, that would have been someone else's spot, right? It becomes the domino effect. And I did not want to do this. I felt bad about, I didn't feel right doing this to begin with. And now, in fact, I did park in the wrong place. I still, right now, do not know where I should have parked. Now, the only thing I can think of, and I haven't overly researched this, because I probably will never go back to this building again, so it doesn't really matter. But if I ever did, I would certainly have to call ahead, because I would just like to know. Now, my only question is, I talked to you earlier about perhaps, you know, with this, maybe they have, when they say public parking, maybe it's only about, I don't know. I'm trying to figure this out because there's no spaces that said public parking. I'm wondering if you use a parking app. As I said, when I went there, they said there were no spots available. I'm wondering if there were a spot available in the public parking area that when I got, if I reserved that spot through the app, it would say park in space number 428 or something. Maybe it gives you a specific number. Maybe there are X amount of public spots, but they are public spots, but they are also semi-reserved spots for the app. I don't know. My little thing here says this is a private spot. So I don't know what's going on. I don't know what the process is. I knew I shouldn't have trusted the guy's voice in the box, and I'm thankful that whoever put this card there did not call the tow truck, because certainly I could have gotten towed. And that would have been a Seinfeld episode. Because it was a nice party, but it wouldn't have been worth a $200 towing charge. It was a nice get-together, but it wouldn't have been worth that. Especially downtown at 10:30, where now where do I do? So, thankfully, whoever this nice person was, they did not call the tow truck, thankfully. But clearly they could have, based on this. So I turned the card over, and it was from the assistant engineer, it seems, of the building. So I don't know how this guy saw this. Maybe the person whose spot I was in reported me. I don't know. Or maybe he was just casually walking in the in the bowels. I don't know. But thankfully, this guy, it looks like he works for the actual residents. It wasn't, because you know, that's what the business card says. So I have to thank this person for not calling the tow truck. Maybe he even knows that this is a bad system and it's very difficult for people to navigate this. I don't know. So thankfully, don't worry, I will not be parking there ever again, because I doubt I will ever go to that building again. So I'm not worried about that, but I am thankful that this person at least had a little compassion. Perhaps it happens a lot, and he didn't call the tow truck, but it sounds like he could have. Okay, so I dodged a bullet there. I didn't feel right about parking there to begin with, and sure enough, I parked in the wrong spot. I still don't know where the right spot was. I still don't know. I'm toying with doing some recognizance on this just to figure out what did I do wrong. But I don't know if it's worth it. But wait till you hear part two. This is where it becomes a Seinfeld or a Larry David episode. So, all right. I dodged a bullet. Thank God this person says, I did not call the tow truck this time. Please don't park here. Thank you. I get in my car and I go to exit. I have my parking ticket. And once again, it's 10:30 at night. It's a residential building, so it's not like it's a, you know, for an event or something. So thankfully there's nobody behind me right away. Stick the card in. Expect for it to say, you know, you owe this much. I'll put my credit card in and boom. The gate will rise, and I will leave. Yeah, right. Part two. Guess what I had to do again? I put my ticket in, and it says bad ticket / card. What does that mean? Stick it in it 2 or 3 more times. Make sure that the magnetic strip is to the left and up, as it said. Yes, and it keeps spitting it out. Bad ticket, bad ticket, bad ticket. I don't even know now, really. Once again, I don't know if there is really public parking in this place using the ticket. Why could my ticket be bad? I went in the public parking area. The ticket came out, and I took it. Why shouldn't this ticket work? I don't understand the process there. The more I talk about this and the more I get angry about it, the more I might call them up and say, can I find out what the process is here? So, and by the way, I'm in the same exit lane that I was 4 hours earlier. So there's deja vu there. And guess what, of course, now I had to do. Yep, I had to hit the assist button. Oh, here we go again. Now I've got more to explain. Hi, I came in in the public parking entrance. I got a ticket. I'm leaving now. I put my ticket in. It says bad ticket.
But did you have the ticket?
Yes, I have the ticket.
Yeah, when did you put it in? Okay, well, we'll have to send you a code. Can I have your phone number?
What? What?
Have to send you a code.
And what am I going to do with the code? I don't hear from her anymore. I give her my phone number. I get this 4-digit code, but now I don't know what to do with it. What am I going to do? How am I? And the gate is still down. Now, of course, there's 3 cars behind me. I'm creating a scene. I'm not screaming or anything, but my point is I'm creating a delay, not a scene. I'm creating a delay that, in my view, is unnecessary. I don't know why my ticket's not working. So guess what I have to do? Yeah, I got to hit that assist button again. Because for some reason, the woman that I was talking to just left me. I don't know. So I hope to get her again. Hey, you know, I'm still here. Well, of course, this is why I don't know where or who these people that are answering that assist button, I don't know where they're at. I just spoke to this woman 10 seconds ago. I hit the button again, and I get somebody new. How could that be? Unless this is going to put people all over the place. I don't know what's going on. He asked me the same thing, the code again. Now he sends me a new code. I said, what am I going to do with this code? Well, you have to promise to pay. I have to promise to pay. Okay, how do I promise? Am I going to promise you? Is this written? So now, of course, the promise to pay for this damn gate to rise so I can get the hell out of there, because now it's 15 minutes. I just barely survived a tow, apparently, and now I still can't leave this place. So he sends me another code, which I still don't know what to do with. Then he asks me my phone number and the ticket number and my email address. Okay. And I give them all that, and he says, okay, you have to promise to pay. Okay, I'll pay. Just open the gate. He opens the gate, and I get out. I'm not exaggerating. It was 15 minutes there. Talked to two people, and I still don't know what to do. I have some mysterious code, which I don't know what I'm going to do with. I don't know how I'm going to pay this. I mean, I don't know. Are they going to send me something? I mean, once again, three experiences with the dreaded assist button at the parking garage. Each one of them completely unsatisfactory, or unsatisfying, I should say, in terms of offering, of presenting a problem and them offering a solution. Not one time after I offered my problem in a very clear and concise way did I get anything close to a clear solution. The gate did open finally, but I still didn't know, okay, how am I going to pay this? So when I got home, I did get a text, because they did ask for my phone number. So I did get a text with a link, and I was able to pay the ticket through that link, or pay the charge, which was $25. Whew. And I was just like, you know, all I wanted to do was socialize a little. I was even on the fence about going to this thing, but I went. And I felt as I was, when the gate opened, I'm like, that was, not only is that a podcast, that was a Seinfeld episode. That was a Seinfeld episode. I felt like Larry David or George Costanza in my car trying to explain what is happening, but more importantly, trying to get a clear answer as to what I should do. And I spoke to three people in that scary little box, and none of them really gave me a full explanation as to what to do. The first guy sends me on a wild goose chase and says, park anywhere once you get around that corner, which wasn't correct, because thankfully this guy that either works at the building could have called a tow truck. So I dodged a bullet there. And then I had to go through at least 15 minutes, if not more, of two separate conversations because I had a bad ticket. I still don't know where I should have parked, how I should have parked, why the ticket was bad, what the process was. Ugh. Here we are in this world. So much technology. Everything built on efficiency and convenience. But I don't know what it is about parking garages. Parking garages seem to have bypassed that. That scary box with the assist. When you press that button, very few good things can happen. So all I would say is a cautionary tale. Save yourself some money. Leave 20 minutes earlier and try to find some street parking. And so ends another episode of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Every Monday, a new episode is posted at WGNRadio.com or wherever you go to find your favorite podcast. We are there. And don't forget to tell your friends, tell your family, tell anyone who listens to a podcast that your favorite podcast is Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, and it should be theirs too. Your loyalty and devotion are much appreciated. Hope you enjoyed episode number 434. I'm Jim Toronto. I ain't here on business. I'm only here for fun. You've been listening to Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. From the end of my mind to your ears.